Translation. This threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith by man, not expecting material benefit, but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness. Shadhaya padaya taptam tapastat trividham narai apalakangshibhiya yuktai satvikam parichakshate. Trividham, yes. Trividham in this verse, it means of three kinds. There are austerities of three kinds, three different types of austerity, and that refers to the mind, to the words, and the body. There's one nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sthani Sthita Shudikatam Tanuvan Manobhir. Same meaning. Tanu refers to the body, senses of the body. Body generally means senses. Otherwise, what is a body? It's a lump of flesh and bones. When we talk about body, that generally means the senses, the very senses of the body. Tanuvan, and van refers to van vacha, same Sanskrit root, van vacha, words. And manobhir, manaha, mind. That refers to the mind. Now this verse talks about trividham, the three different types of austerities performed with the mind. Mind primarily consists of three activities: thinking, feeling, and willing, desiring. So how to perform austerities in the mind? That is very easy. Manmana bhavamat bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. We are supposed to always think of Krishna and worship Krishna in our mind, offer Krishna's prayer, offer Krishna prayers. That refers to the van, vacha, to the words, and the various senses. We always engage in Lord Krishna's service. So just see how perfect this Krishna conscious process is. Everything is being taken care of. There's ample facilities to engage the mind in Krishna's service, provided, of course, if we want. The desire, that's the crucial point. The desire must be there. Because if the desire is not there, then we will always find some excuse. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow I will. Tomorrow. Next time, tomorrow. Always future, future, future. But if the desire is there, then what is the difficulty? Sometimes Srila Prabhupada used to say, what is the difficulty to engage in Krishna's service? You just think of Krishna, do some service for Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Why? What is the difficulty? The difficulty is that the desire to engage everything in Krishna's service, it is not very developed. It is very weak. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness means to cultivate our desire to render service to Krishna. That's the whole process we are doing. Why desire is so weak? Because of the this verse describes different austerities regarding the modes of material nature. As more we are influenced by the modes of nature, as weaker our position in Krishna consciousness is. The sattva, that is less conditioned, but that danger in sattva gun is one might feel very, very related to the modes of material nature. Sattva guna, very satisfied and complacent. Everything is fine, I feel okay, everything is nice. One might even become distracted from practical devotional service, residing in the forest, appreciating the sunshine and the innocence of the chirping birds, or music One might become distracted to the sattvic type of music, not transcendental music, chanting Hare Krishna. This we sometimes feel, that those who are identifying themselves with a sattva guna, eating very sattvic food, I don't talk about the devotees now, eating very sattvic food, appreciating classic ragas, sitar, etc., practicing a little yoga and meditation. For them it is sometimes difficult to relate to chanting Hare Krishna. When we bang our kettles in a very simple way, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, Hare Krishna, a little difficult for them. They think this is passion, lower stage than I am cultivating. They sometimes perceive like that, because they cannot understand the transcendental nature of Harinam, chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, we should not make it too difficult for those people and really demonstrate that it is transcendental. I mean, in a way of even provoking their reservation. We should make it easy as possible for everybody to develop some appreciation for chanting Hare Krishna and performing Krishna conscious activities. That's how the mind of a preacher works. He's always concerned about the outside world, about the non-devotees. How will they become attracted to Krishna consciousness? How will they appreciate Krishna consciousness? How will they become engaged in Krishna? They're always, day and night, they're concerned. They're very, very sensitive to the feelings of the materialists. And they always design plans in such a way to somehow attract them to Krishna consciousness. That's the mind of the preacher. Those who are not so advanced in Krishna consciousness, they're more concerned about their own situation. The main thing is that I feel satisfied, I feel happy in Krishna consciousness. This is their main concern. But those who are more advanced in Krishna consciousness, they think beyond themselves, always meditating, how do people think about this Krishna consciousness, so that they might become somehow or other attracted. Yena kina pakarena mana Krishna niveshayet. That Rupa Goswami instructs us. Somehow or other, we have to attract the mind, the attention of the non-devotees to this process of Krishna consciousness. And that requires intelligence. Any devotee who thinks or claims that he is intelligent, now here is a facility to utilize your intelligence, to demonstrate your intelligence. Let us shock out plans. Let us think about various plans, how to attract the conditioned souls to this process of Krishna consciousness. This requires brain work. Like sometimes it is being underestimated, the involvement of the intelligence in distributing Krishna consciousness literature. It is not just a simple process of here, take and give something. You have to tax your brain, your intelligence, what to say, how to speak in such a way that they will appreciate these transcendental literatures. Because by nature, conditioned nature, nobody has any appreciation. We have experience. Practically anybody, of course exceptions are there, some pious souls you always find, but generally if you show this book, Bhagavad Gita, immediately, like allergic. No, I don't want, I don't need, I have no time, I have no money, anything. And then you just have to touch the pocket and clink, 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 what about this? Clink, 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 here you have some coins. I remember one, I was distributing books in Iceland, very far away from here, Iceland, very, very cold, winter time, it was so cold. And that devotee who distributed with me, he was so expert. Because nobody would react. It was so cold. Everybody had his hands in their pockets. And then they did not even think about taking the book. Just, no. Everybody walked away. It's so cold. You know, what he did, just to stop people somehow, you know, he just, even very business type of people, you know, with a tie and suit and a coat and, what is it in English? Attaché, this, he just, at one point, he just grabbed them around the waist. Like, grabbed them and then pulled them up like this. And how to explain? He was in this position and then he grabbed them and they were lying, you know, with the feet in the air like this on his belly like this. Just grabbed them and he shook them and, you know, said so funny things that, okay. And then they just took the book and in this way he just... In this way, he started distributing this. I thought, wow, so let me also do it. So I just, next gentleman, I just grabbed him around the waist, and he was so upset, he wanted to call the police immediately, and then I had to apologize. You cannot imitate. You cannot imitate the enthusiasm, the intelligence. You know, how Krishna uses a particular devotee in his service. You cannot just imitate that. You have to find your own way of being used in Lord Krishna's hands, as a tool in Lord Krishna's hands. That everybody has to find. But the desire must be there. That's the main point. The desire. We have to cultivate the desire. And if we don't have the desire, or if the desire is very meager, very weak, we simply have to associate with those who have a very, very strong desire. That's the whole technique. Association is so strong. Today we talk a little bit about it. Now, how people change, materialists, just by associating a little bit with the devotees. On the spot, they change. They adjust their vocabulary immediately. They don't use such gross words anymore. They change on the spot. Association is so powerful. So naturally, when we associate with the devotees who have a very strong desire to render service of Krishna, we become affected. It is contagious, that's the word? Contagious. By your association, another person catches your disease. Contagious. Krishna consciousness, the strong desire to render service to Krishna, to become Krishna, it is contagious. Everybody who associates with such a person, he becomes affected immediately. So that's the secret. Always aspiring to associate with the advanced devotees of Krishna. And then that motivates us, that inspires us to make more advancement in our Krishna consciousness as well. Of course, the prime example for everyone is Srila Prabhupada himself. What desire Srila Prabhupada had to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Unbelievable. What a desire he had to please his spiritual master. That is also a very essential element in making substantial progress in Krishna consciousness, that desire to please one's guru. You should not underestimate the importance. That desire, how can I please my Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master? Just that desire alone, it is so pleasing to Krishna, because we cannot approach Krishna directly. It is not possible. In the beginning, neophyte devotees, they always think in these terms, only Krishna and me, nobody else. I think about Krishna, and I'm sure Krishna thinks about me. I love Krishna, Krishna loves me. I surrender to Krishna. But Krishna is so far away, we are so conditioned. The spiritual master, that is the external representative of Lord Krishna. And then, unless we take full shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, cultivating that desire to please him, then that service Krishna will accept. Lord Krishna reserves the right to not be served directly by anyone. Since time immemorial, we rejected our service of Krishna. And now, you know, when we have some difficulties in our life, in one lifetime, among millions of lifetimes, we have some little trouble. Oh, Krishna, I want to surrender immediately. Krishna. It's not so simple. Krishna, definitely, in the beginning, a little skeptical. Well, you know, for millions of lives you rejected me. Now you have a little trouble and I want to fully surrender. Well, let's see. you render first service to the spiritual master, and then let us see from where we go, from that point. Arjuna also he instructed, you know Bhagavad Gita. If you want to know the truth, Arjuna, you must approach a bona fide spiritual master. This is Lord Krishna's system. We cannot bypass it. We cannot just jump directly to Krishna. So that is a very essential, very important element. That desire to render service to Guru, to please him somehow or other, which is not difficult at all. That those who took on that responsibility of gurus, they should make it very easy for the disciples to render service. Not if the disciple wants to render some service, you know, what you're doing, not in this way, I told you, and I just smashing. How can we render service? Like Srila Prabhupada, he was, of course, later on the disciple must be trained properly, he must grow up properly in Krishna consciousness, but at least in the beginning, any little service we have seen in Srila Prabhupada, he was so appreciative. So much appreciation, any little service. Even that drunkard, remember? During the Sunday program, some drunkard came with toilet paper. So he wanted to do some service. He had toilet paper in his hand, roll of toilet paper. And the Prabhupada immediately engaged. You can roll it out and we can use it. So that is also very, very important. If devotees, guests visit this temple, or devotees come to Krishna consciousness, immediately engage them in some kind of service. This is the bhakti, devotional service is so powerful, so potent. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supreme example for us how to control the mind, how to control the words, how to control the senses. This is why the Lord Krishna himself took to the renounced order of life. The tridanda precisely means this tridanda. These three things must be fully engaged in Krishna's service. Mind, words and body. And then the fourth danda, it is being cut off from one danda, not that we are one with God, no, cut off, but at the same time tight, we are one and different. And that bent, you know, piece at the tridanda, you see a bent stick, and that means humble in devotion, the soul renders service to Krishna. That's the whole meaning. Of course, Mahaprabhu, he took ekadanda, that used to be the system at that time. This is a long story. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he desired so much to visit Neelachala, to see the Lord of his heart, Jagannath Dev, Lord Jagannath. And at that time, relationship between Bengal state and Orissa, a very difficult relationship. There's some similar to you have experience here also. The people could not even visit each other's country. It was not possible. So dangerous. Because the other country immediately thought this is a spy. They used to, booby traps. You know booby traps? It's below the earth. They're very sharp spears. You cannot see. So when you wanted to walk at night on the main road to Orissa, then you would cut your feet immediately, and then the soldiers would attack you and kill you because they thought you were a spy. Through the jungle also you could not go, too dangerous, so many wild animals, ferocious animals are there. And through the water, there's also one river connecting, you also could not, so many sharks were there, you could not swim through. So very difficult. When Mahaprabhu had this desire, he just walked with the six other devotees, including Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda, and others. And finally he reached Shatrabhoga. And then there was this Ramachandra Khan. He was in charge of that district. And when Mahaprabhu performed his kirtan, for 9 hours, it is described. 9 hours continuous kirtan. And finally, this came to the attention of Ramachandra Khan, and he went to that spot where Mahaprabhu performed kirtan, and he was amazed. He was a normal materialist, a sense enjoyer, but when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, he was just overwhelmed. Because at that time when he came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was shedding so many tears in ecstasy. It was like a fountain. The tears were shooting out of his lotus eyes, and he was spinning around so fast. It's like you spray the garden and then you have this pipeline or something, this thing. And now imagine this, you know, you turn it on completely, full, the water shoots out, and then you take this pipe and then you go like this, and the water spraying all over it. It was like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spinning around so fast, and he was drowning everyone around him in tears. So this is Ramachandra Khan, when he saw that, he said, this is not possible for a human being. This is not possible. He must be some divine entity who came down from the heavenly planets, or maybe even Vaikuntha, who knows. So he went there immediately, and they introduced Ramachandra Khan to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. It is also important to notice, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Ramachandra Khan, he immediately changed. All the symptoms of ecstasies, they all disappeared instantly. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, who is this person? And they introduced him. He is in charge of this district. This is Ramachandra Khan, important person. And Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see him. He said, oh, you're in charge of this district. Then you can certainly describe to us how we can go to Orissa. Because we want to go to Jagannath Puri and see Jagannath. And of course he instantly replied, oh, this you can forget. This is not possible. This is simply too dangerous. Then he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. They stayed at his home for some time. They discussed Krishna Katha. And in the evening, Ramachandra Khan, he was completely changed, transformed. He had no fear anymore. He felt so much devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he himself suggested, I will arrange some boatsmen, don't worry. You will certainly reach the other side safely. Then they arranged for a boatsman, but the boatsman, he was afraid like anything. He said, I'm not going over. No way, this is simply too dangerous. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified the boatsman by saying, why are you so afraid? Don't you know, wherever the devotees are, wherever the holy name will be chanted, there you find Lord Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra. That Sudarshan Chakra will protect all the devotees. Then he began to describe the Sudarshan Chakra. Very long description. All the principal demigods, they reside in the Sudarshan Chakra. Hanuman is residing there. All the various protecting potencies, they all... And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned, whoever dares to attack the devotees to kill them, this Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Vishnu will burn this person into ashes immediately. So why are you afraid? And then a boatsman, he also transformed. He said, okay, let's go. He was fired up. So then they went. But then what happened? Mukunda, he played the cardles and he was chanting with his sweet voice, and the boatsman freaked out. He said, it is in the middle of night. When they hear us, we are finished. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again, he said, why are you so afraid? So he just surrendered. They went over. Of course, nothing happened. But the grace of Lord Krishna, nothing happened. And they reached the other side. So they were very, very happy. But then what happened, there was one tax collector. He immediately came, oh, now you have to pay heavy tax. And Mahaprabhu, he looked at the tax collector. With tears in his eyes, he explained, I have nothing. Everything I surrendered everything to the Lord of my heart. He spoke in such a sweet way that this tax collector, he began to cry. He was shedding tears. He said, "It's okay, you can go. You're a holy man. You're a holy man. You can go. Please go. But not the others," he said. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he turned around to Nityananda Prabhu. He gave that special look. And he indicated, "Goodbye." And he just went. So Nityananda said, "You cannot just go." He just didn't turn around. So detached, just went. But then what? And then of course he approached Nityananda Prabhu and the other associates of the Lord. That now you have to pay for sure. You have to pay tax. And they also, they talked to the tax collector in such a way that he, you know, became more and more pacified, affected by the association. Then on top of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could not bear the separation from the other devotees, from his associates, especially Nityananda Prabhu. And at some distance, he just sat down on a rock, it is described, with his head between the knees, and he was shedding so many tears that around the earth was just drowned with his tears. And the tax collector, he saw that. He said, "My God, this is not possible. No human being can cry like this." So then he looked at Nityananda Prabhu and Dhyana, "Who are you people?" And then again they explained, "We are just totally dependent on the Lord Krishna." And they said, "Anyway, you can all go." So this way they escaped and then finally reached Jagannath Puri. So here we see the topmost mendicant, topmost example, the Lord is setting himself, Trividham, how to perform these three types of austerities, how to always engage the mind in Krishna's service and thoughts of Krishna, desiring for Krishna, feeling for Krishna, thinking about Krishna, and the words, always glorifying Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, and the very senses are always engaging in Lord Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's the Jiva Danda. The fourth one is the Jiva Danda. This is being added. Tridanda means mind, words, body, and the soul, jiva, that is added. That's the fourth danda. Yeah, this is a jiva danda, but the jiva is one with God, of course, but at the same time, a chinta vida vida tattva, at the same time, separate from God. So that's why peace is being separated, but bound. It is one, but separate. And then the bending means like devotion, surrender to them. The Supreme. Now let's first stick to this lecture, and we can take the others first. Yeah. 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 This is a nice. See then what happened. Normally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now I forgot the name, there was one particular associate, and whenever Mahaprabhu could not carry his danda for whatever reason, then he gave that danda to that particular devotee, you know, to hold, to take care of. But the one time, it happened so that that particular devotee, associate of the Lord, he also could not take care of the danda. He had to do something. Then he gave it to Nityananda Prabhu. So this was the destiny. And Nityananda Prabhu, he looked at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's danda, and then he started to argue in his own ecstasy. He started to talk, to speak to the danda. "What do you think who you are?" All the three worlds, they're sitting at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu to render service. And you place yourself in such a position that the Lord is carrying you all the time. How do you dare? Like he was just talking. So then at one point, he said, this is simply not acceptable. So he took the danda and broke it into three pieces. So that two meanings are there, why he did this. The first meaning is what I just described. He could not tolerate that the Lord had to carry all the time the danda. The danda should carry the Lord. Not the Lord carry the danda. What is this? So he was so upset that he just broke the danda. This is one meaning. And then the second meaning is also, actually there are three meanings. I forgot. The second meaning is he could not accept this So the ekadanda also he could not accept. No, first the carry thing. Anyway, let's see. So, and then the other meaning is he broke the danda into three pieces. And by this he wanted to demonstrate that actually we should not think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a Mayavadi by accepting the ekadanda. So he transformed in this way the ekadanda to tridanda by breaking it into three pieces. So in this way you want to demonstrate it's actually a tridanda. So like that. Tanovan manobi, that's another verse. Yeah, the stan is Tanovan manobi. Tanovan manobi. Sanatan Goswami comments on that particular Bhagavatam verse. There are three meanings, jita, jitaha, jita, and ajita. Jita means to conquer. Jitaha means to be conquered. Ajita means not, you are not able to conquer. You cannot conquer. These three meanings. So related to the devotees, by their mind, their words, and their body senses, conquer the Lord. That's the jita. And jitaha, to be conquered, that refers to Lord Krishna's mind, his words, his senses. They're all being conquered by the devotee. And then ajita, that refers to the materialists, to the non-devotees. With their mind, with their words, with their physical power, they cannot conquer the Lord. Ajita. Jita, ajita. Jitaha. Very nice verse. And Lord Krishna, there's one verse. Lord Krishna spoke this verse that normally Lord Krishna always feels very, very much attracted to the Vedic hymns like the Purusha Shukta, Stotras, etc. Lord Krishna always feels, Lord Vishnu always feels attracted to the sound vibration emanating from the mouth of the sages, rishis, brahmanas, etc., glorifying the Lord in various ways. But then Lord Krishna spoke this way. But when the gopis, when they call me debauchee, rascal, then this sound vibration, when I hear this, I forget about all these Purusha Shuktas, all the Vedic hymns, I just forget about them. This is so much more attractive. So in this way we can see how the love, pure love, unalloyed love of the devotee just conquers the mind and thoughts of Lord Krishna. The devotee is literally holding the Lord in his hands. One time Srila Prabhupada gave this description. Just see the power of the devotees. They capture the Lord, put him in a small box and carry around the neck. Like a Shalagram Srila. You capture the Lord, put him in a box, and you carry around the neck. Let's see. And the Lord, he agrees to that. All right, I will remain in this little box and always walk with you wherever you go around your neck. Just see how the Lord is being controlled by his devotees. That's not a weakness. It's not a weakness. That's a glory of the Lord, glory of bhakti, devotion, prema. Then I would like to stop at this point. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.